We're going to listen back to an interview with Jack Wrangler, who was a gay porn icon in the 70s and early 80s. He died last week of emphysema at the age of 62. Jack Stillman took the name Jack Wrangler when he started stripping in a show in L.A. With the name Wrangler, he helped bring the macho gay image to pop culture. When clothed, his trademark was tight-fitting jeans and a flannel shirt unbuttoned to reveal his muscular physique. In the late 70s, he met the famous singer Margaret Whiting, who was over 20 years older than him. They became close companions, and in 1994 became husband and wife. Whiting is the daughter of the songwriter Richard Whiting, and Johnny Mercer was like an uncle to her. Jack Wrangler produced a couple of Mercer tribute shows that she starred in. When I spoke with Jack Wrangler in 1985, we had an adult conversation about adult films, a conversation that may not be appropriate for young children. I asked him first about how he developed his stripping routine.
I always figured that men should really strip differently than women. You know, I think women are always the tease thing and the little off-the-shoulder stuff and everything. I never really thought of a man doing it that way. I always thought of them as more rugged, and if it rip it off or get up. But so I walked on stage the first time, and they'd had all these little dancers on, which I don't knock. I can't do it. But I just walked on stage and smoked a cigarette. And people thought that was fascinating. I stood there and did that whole macho thing where you put it between the thumb and the forefingers, right, and you squint. And did it. And I have a sort of a Scotch voice anyway. That I didn't have to invent. I think it seems to get lower every year. You were saying I live with Margaret Whiting. Her voice is as low as mine in the mornings. We sound exactly alike. But so I had that voice, and so I started using that on stage along with the cigarette because I figured I couldn't just stand there and smoke forever. And I started talking about how I got off on being outdoors and that the ruggedness of the sun and the rocks and the trees. And she's getting hysterical while I'm doing this. And as I was saying that, it would get hot. And so, of course, the shirt would come off. And it was all that kind of thing. But it was all – and they would play this very kind of romantic music behind me. I'm so glad you weren't there because you would have started to laugh. Then I would have started to laugh and the whole thing would have been over. I would have never had this wonderful career.
Did you enjoy it? Was it fun?
No, I was scared to death. I didn't enjoy it at all. I thought, what have I gotten myself into? And I also thought, and my parents had told me, that I had closed a lot of doors, you know, and that I was not going to exactly run back out and get into a soap. But remember, one hadn't been offered to me either. I always make the joke about that I was not offered the Brady Bunch, and so I ended up doing this. But it is true that I wasn't going to wait around for somebody to make me a personality. I wanted it then. And at that time, the X-rated film industry was coming into its own. That was new, too. I seem to have carved a lot of new industries.
What year are we talking about?
It's not so long ago. It was about 10 years ago, about 1974, I guess. We really didn't have that. Pornography was just starting to be a big American thing. It had been a European import for all those years. And, boy, we got so excited when we saw those magazines with the girls playing volleyball. You know, that was the first stuff that came out that was considered X-rated. And then we got real sophisticated fast. But I remember when I did it, it was a very strange law. You were allowed to make the films, and I think you were allowed to own the films, but you weren't allowed to sell the films or distribute the films or something like that. It was a postal law more than anything else. And so when I did my first film, it was done as a mail order loop. It was a thing of me alone, and it was a short thing that was on 8mm film. And remember those days? And then everybody would put those on the projectors and they'd go rattling off on the floor and you'd be chasing around hundreds of yards of film. Well, I did one of those, and I was alone on a ranch sitting on a fence.
When you started stripping, were you already out? Were you already officially gay?
What is officially gay?
I mean, had you decided for certain that at least for then,
that
you were gay?
That I was attracted
to guys? Did other people know that, yeah?
Well, I was fooling around, I remember. I really wasn't doing that much of anything at that time. I didn't think that highly of myself physically. And I was more concerned in creating an image than living a lifestyle sexually one way or another at that time. I was getting close to being almost asexual, I think. I'd had a couple of crummy relationships and some very nice ones, I guess, with people. It was more like, with me, it was more like the guys at summer camp or going off on a fraternity binge or something. I thought if you were gay that you had to be doing all kinds of things that I didn't even know about until I had to do them in a film.
How did you develop your persona after that strip act, which you had described? How did you go on to develop the persona that you would have in subsequent movies and stage performances?
Well, part of it had to do with a manager that worked with me at that time named Bob Meyer. And he helped package this whole persona of Jack Wrangler. And I guess I don't know where the flannel shirt thing came in, but once it did, I guess I did a couple of photo essays and stuff with the flannel shirt, and people, I got a good response from it, so I kept doing it. I remember that Bob then would push all these things down everybody's throat. I mean, you couldn't open a magazine without me advertising or endorsing something. I endorsed insurance companies. Remember, they had me all tied up in conduits and saying something about don't get all tied up, Jack Wrangler. It was always Jack Wrangler says, so that to keep the name and the face. There's a Jack Wrangler bathing suit that our men put out. We had a thing called Intermountain Logging Company that was Levi's and flannel shirts. That's all they sold, and belt buckles, I think. And all to keep this really not a Western image as much as highly almost caricature of masculinity, which is very true in the gay X-rated films. It's much more stereotyped than in the straight X-rated films. You have your construction worker, and you have your outdoorsman, and you have the lineman. A telephone lineman is big. I did a window washer once where they suspended me 17 stories over the Ansonia Hotel with a strange squeegee. And I did... I've played cops, I've played wardens, I've played, you know, all those very rough and tumble kind of characters that have never seen a bed before in their lives.
Somebody once said that we fall in love with people who we want to become ourselves, but we're incapable of becoming.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you kind of created a persona for yourself?
Oh,
wasn't
sure.
Like you at all?
It was Walter Mitty dream. It wasn't anything like me. And that's exactly the guy I'd always wanted of me. You know, some lumberjack kind of type. I'd always wanted to be like that. And I felt because of my upbringing and having an upbringing with governesses and all that stuff, boy, it really makes you feel emasculated. I even had to hold my napkin a certain way and dab my mouth. I mean, we were taught all about, I was a highly mannered child, dressed for dinner and all that kind of thing. And so, of course, what I wanted to be was a rancher. That would be the obvious thing. I wanted to get out of those little short pants and Lord Fauntleroy outfits and get into some rugged stuff and be a real man. You know? And so that is, a lot of those over-exaggerated characteristics began to mellow after a few years. I think I got bored with them, or I started feeling more self-confident, which I did. I did gain a lot of self-confidence out of doing all this. You know, I was painfully shy before this.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not anymore.
And self-conscious, too.
Oh, very much so. I'm still self-conscious, but I'm not painfully shy anymore.
What would it be like if you met somebody who you were going to have an affair with or something?
Mm-hmm.
And they
happens.
Yeah, well, no, and they expected you to be Jack Wrangler. I mean, who you are, but what I mean is they expected you to have that kind of outdoorsy background instead of being brought
up
in
Beverly
Hills.
Oh, yeah, to behave that way at home, you know. That happens a lot. If somebody goes home with me and they know of me as Jack Wrangler, then they're going to expect imagine a certain thing. I can't blame that on them. I blame it on me. For creating something that's such an outrageous character to begin with, that the worst thing is that they expect other people to live up to that character, and that's I feel awful when people say I broke up with my lover because he didn't think that I was as masculine as Jack Wrangler. And I said, well, either am I. Who is?
Well, you had said that you had kind of fantasized about a character like that when you were younger, and you kind of became that character.
Mm-hmm.
but maintain some ironic distance from that character as well. Do you still harbor any romantic fantasies about that kind of really macho, outdoorsy guy, or has all of that been kind of erased in the knowledge that you now have about how that image can be created?
Well, I got a lot of it out of my system by doing it and playing it on the screen. That was a nice release. But I think that I'm very attracted to the outdoors and would love to have a Jeep and a big dog and a ranch somewhere, and that I would enjoy. But as long as it was only 45 minutes from Saks, but sure, I still harbor that. And anytime I hear about somebody just went off to become a forest ranger or a fireman or something, I think, oh, they did the right thing. You know, they're going to have a wonderful life.
How did you make the transition, and why did you make the transition from gay X-rated to straight X-rated movies?
Well, for one thing, I figured if you're going to be the top of the X-rated industry, you better not limit yourself to just one small part. I mean, why be a nurse when you can be a doctor? That would sort of apply here. It had always been my plan to be both the top of the gay and the straight X-rated industry, and I wanted to have that simultaneously because, I don't know, and also I wanted to be continuing as a legit director and writer as well because I wanted to prove only in America, Horatio Alger, right, that could one do all of that and be a wonderful guide for children everywhere. You too could do this. But it was really kind of the plan. We were going to become the top of the gay first because in the straight films at that time, you couldn't get your name over the title if you were a guy. Only the girls got them over the title. That changed when I went into the straight films. My first one, I was over the title because I had been a name in the gay thing, and they thought that they might get a lot of those people to go over and see the straight films. So they did it as a merchandising gimmick. And so it made sense for me to do first the gay and then go into the straight. But the first straight film I did was a thing called Two China Sisters. And it was about two, believe it or not, China sisters who were really not China. One was from Santa Barbara, I think, and one was from Sherman Oaks or something with a lot of makeup. And the two girls that decided to take this gay boy and make him straight, which they do by the end of the reel. And that was it.
That was your initiation into heterosexuality, wasn't it?
It was, as well. It was a big red letter day. I felt like I'd been bar mitzvahed.
It must have been very weird to have your first heterosexual encounter in front of cameras.
Yeah.
And crew.
Yeah. Most of it was funny because they were really cheering me on, you know. This is really like, boy, the kid's really coming into his own today. My son, you are a man. And all these people the crew's always standing out the set with bagels and things, you know. They're always eating, those people. And standing there with their bagels and saying, yay, Jack, go to it.
What's the lifespan of the working lifespan of someone in pornography? Do you reach a certain age where people don't want to see you naked anymore because, as far as they're concerned, you're too old?
I don't know whether it's a numbers thing as much as it is whether somebody starts to fall apart.
Well, this is something you worry about. I know, like athletes when they start
every
in
breathing
pro ball,
moment of my
know,
life. Uh-huh. But I would worry about it anyway. I worry about it in my personal life too. If I don't get to I feel this last 3 weeks I've been working on a project, haven't been able to go to the gym, and I've been traveling a lot, and I feel awful, ugly, terrible, unwanted, unclean. I feel because I haven't been pumping up and getting everything exactly where it's supposed to be. Oh yeah, I'm terrible about all that stuff. Really, it's become a phobia. Isn't that a damn shame? Christopher Reeves once said that he thought it was so stupid that people went to gyms and stuff. He said he only did it for Superman, and when he doesn't have to do that role, could care less about going through all the routine. And it is kind of dumb because you go to this gym and pump up these muscles and they just go right back down again. I mean, they don't stay there or anything. So your whole life is spent locked in a gym. I think that we're much too overly concerned with it now. Wasn't it great in the old days when not just anybody worked out? I thought that was terrific. It's like when not just anybody flew, you know, and stuff. Now everybody goes to a gym. Everybody looks great, and it's no big deal anymore.
But as you get older, do you ever feel like we're really, like, too obsessed with youth and with
oh, of course we
good
are.
Looks and all that?
Oh, we certainly are. And every year I say that even with a stronger voice, that we're much too obsessed with youth. I think we should become obsessed with middle age.
Thanks a lot for talking.
Thank you, Terry. Really, I had a wonderful time.
Jack Wrangler recorded in 1985. He died of emphysema last week at the age of 62. After his gay porn career, he went on to produce theater and cabaret, including music reviews starring Margaret Whiting, who became his wife in 1994. We'll hear her tell the story of how they met after a break. This is Fresh Air.